At Her Spirit, we're here for you. We want to help you discover your potential, achieve your goals, ignite your fitness, find your community. Head to herspirit.co.uk and sign up for our core membership. Get access to our virtual classes, monthly challenges, expert advice, and track your progress in our health hub. You'll also find your very own cheerleading squad who will support you every step of the way. Use the code HERSPIRITPOD3 and get 3 months completely free. It's time for you.
Hello and welcome to the Her Spirit podcast. I am Louise Minchin, and every month you will know we sit down together and talk about the small changes we can all make to our lives that can lead to big results. If you are new to the podcast, welcome. If you are one of our loyal listeners, thank you. We love what you say about the podcast. We love that you listen, and we love that you dedicate your time to hearing what we've got to say. So Her Spirit is a community of women just like you, and we come together to help and encourage each other to get more active, feel stronger, happier and healthier. You might be nervous, you haven't been on a bike maybe for 20 years, or you haven't run since your school sports day. Remember that? But it doesn't matter, because you're part of our community at herspirit.co.uk. You'll find there's lots of inspiration, support, no judgment. Together we have got this. Now today we are specifically talking about running. My mission, and hopefully the mission of everybody who is on this podcast, I think, to put it simply, is to make running not scary. I have a, let's put it this way, a kind of love-hate relationship with running. I would love to love running, but quite often I don't like it. But that's going to all be cured, hopefully, in the next 35 minutes or so. Let me tell you who we got on the podcast today. We have got a wonderful person, Karen Weir, who is a runner, triathlete, personal trainer, Ironman endurance coach, and she is going to be our resident expert. Karen, thank you very much indeed. I'm going to have to do a bit of kind of like, you know, let's be transparent here, because Karen is currently my running coach, but I can't run. So we'll come to that. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Louise.
We will hopefully get me running.
We will get you running. Stage. We will get you running, definitely.
Also on board, of course, Holly Woodford, who is behind Her Spirit, one of the co-founders. Holly, you are a runner, aren't you? Which is good.
I love running. And whether that makes me a runner, discuss. I think there's quite a lot of interesting stuff about running and identity. But I genuinely love running. It's something I enjoy. But it is like Marmite for an awful lot of people. I just like Marmite.
I like Marmite too. We'll come to, because we've done a little bit of, we asked out on the Her Spirit community on the app as well and on social media about running, didn't we? And the first word that came into people's mind. I'll come to that in a second. Just let me tell you who else is on the podcast today. We've got Bryony Gordon. Now, Bryony, I'm sure lots of you will know, is an award-winning journalist, author, mental health campaigner. She's been on the podcast before. I'm going to call you a runner, Bryony. Would you call yourself a runner?
Yeah. I'd call myself a runner, flibbity gibbet. I mean, there's all sorts of things I call myself on a daily basis. I don't like to be defined by my sporting activity. What am I talking about? Yes, I do. I do like to run. Not very fast, but I run.
Yep, you definitely do. And you've done, how many London marathons have you done?
Only two.
Only two. Psh, listen, I've done none. Sharifa Jay, you are also, you're a British model, you're a presenter, mental health activist as well, based in London. Are you a runner, Sharifa? Would you define yourself as a runner? What would you say?
I run, and normally I'm running to something, like I'm running to coffee, or running away from like an ex-boyfriend or something. So I run for purpose. I like running medals as well. I have a thing about, I'm collecting all the medals that I can possibly get. So it doesn't matter how fast I do the challenge, just as long as I finish, so I can be like, yes, I did it.
Do you know what, Sharifa? I immediately identify with you, because that's exactly my type of running. I don't normally run away from people. I normally run to people, but I definitely run for coffee. I run for buses, and I 100% get the running for medals. I love medals. I will literally do ridiculous things just to get a medal. And then, as you say, they're not medals for winning. Anyway, so Holly, let's just start with a kind of, you know, a really honest look at running, because you love it. But when I put out on my Instagram, for example, the first word that you would say when you think of running, people were like, no, yes, let's go. I can't. Oh, Lord. I'm loving doing the voices, by the way. Outdoors, peace, freedom, release. So there's a whole plethora, isn't there? Like you say, there's the hate, the love, and the in-between. Holly, what did you find on the Her Spirit community?
I think we found the same. I think it really was a love or hate kind of relationship. There didn't seem an awful lot in between. So for those that just loved it, couldn't get enough of it and just wanted to do more. And for others, it was just a flat no. Nope, not today, not tomorrow, not in my lifetime. So I found that fascinating as somebody who does enjoy running, why there is such a difference of kind of emotion really that comes with it.
Okay, so Bryony, why did you want to run? Why did you even start this kind of running journey that you're on?
I mean, I didn't want to run, but I was sort of had to because I was very mentally unwell. I was suffering from depression and obsessive compulsive disorder, and I had literally tried everything. Unfortunately, trying everything included like all the alcohol, all the drugs, do you know what I mean? And I'd sort of, which I can tell you now, I did that so you don't have to. That is not an effective cure for mental health issues. Then about six, seven years ago, I kept hearing that thing of like, exercise is really good for your mental health. And I was like, oh, that is so boring. Does that have to be the case? But I thought maybe these experts know what they're talking about. So I sort of started off literally jogging in a pair of Converse trainers with my then like 2-year-old, 3-year-old daughter's sippy cup for water, because I was terrified that I would drop down dead. And then it sort of went from there. I set up this thing called Mental Health Mates, which is like walking peer support groups to get us out of the house, because it really did improve my mental health just being out for just the 20 minutes. And then I got asked to do the London Marathon by Heads Together, which is the mental health charity. I sort of accidentally taught myself into doing it with the Duchess of Cambridge. It was the launch of Heads Together in maybe May 2016, and I was introduced to her, and she was like, I was like, are you going to do the marathon? And she was like, because they were the official charity of the London Marathon the next year. And she said, oh no, it's kind of hard to secure 26.2 miles. And I was like, yeah. I was like, if I can do a marathon, anyone can do a marathon. And I was like, I don't know why I said that. I've never done a marathon. I could eat a marathon, but I can't like run one. And she was like, are you going to do the marathon? And the guy from Heads Together was like, why don't you do the marathon? And I was like, I guess I'm doing the marathon. So I did the marathon the next year. I didn't want to run because I thought running wasn't for me. I was too big. I was not fast enough. You know, to me, because I think we have this thing, don't we, in Britain especially, that like if you're not good, if you're not the best, the strong, you know, the fastest at something, you shouldn't do it, which is just rubbish, do you know what I mean? And I think the moment that I did it for like the gains and not the losses, so I started doing it for the clarity for my head rather than for it being about being quickest or slimmest or smallest, it really transformed for me.
I love that, the journey from sippy cup to London Marathon. And I think lots of people listening to that will relate to certainly the beginning of that journey. You know, they really will. And all the things you've talked about, you know, not wanting to perhaps be seen or, you know, there are so many barriers. Sharifa, what about you?
It's a tricky one, really. I think that movie, Yes Man, had a real effect on me. You know, I found it really inspirational. Does anyone remember that movie? Yes Man, where he just has to say yes to everything. He can't say no. So it's like a comedy, but I really, really resonated with me. So I sort of went through this weird phase, which is still happening now. If someone asks me, do you want to do something? In my head, I'm like, no. But on the outside, I'm like, yes. So that's pretty much how my journey, my running journey started. It sort of started with Bryony and Jada Cesar, because how long ago was it, Bryony? Maybe 2019. They were like, we've got this great idea where we're going to run a 10K, but we're not just going to run a 10K. We're going to run a 10K in our underwear, and it's going to be great. And by the way, Sharifa, you're coming. So it's like, what do you mean? I had plans that weekend, but we all rocked up that day. There was probably 200 women all in there, underwear or versions of their underwear, or wearing t-shirts with underwear, like naked bodies, boobs printed over the top. And
900 women, Sharifa.
900. Oh my God. Okay. So there's 900 women. There's 1,000 of us, thousands of us. And we all ran together that day, this collective group of just different body shapes, different types of people all running together. We all ran past the Queen's house in our underwear. The sun was shining. And it was just an amazing day. And I think that's where I got the buzz. That's where I got the excitement for race days, particularly. That's why I have a thing for, I love the medals and I love race days. And I love training for a challenge. I do actually find it quite difficult if I don't have a race coming up to get out and go for a run. Like, I'm more of a swim, yoga, bike sort of gal. Running, I find extremely easy.
You said what? Easy.
Running.
Did you say easy?
Running. No. Running, I find it to be my most challenging thing. But you realize as soon as you start doing it, you're like, it's just fast walking, and it's not actually that hard. But it's my least natural thing to go to. So that's sort of my running journey.
Well, I mean, I love this also, completely different running journey. So Karen, let's just pick up those kind of thoughts, because, you know, I mean, just look at one of the things that I've had. It's the start, which is key to all of this, isn't it? And there'll be people here who are, you know, longtime runners and won't need to know about this, but let's just start at the beginning. We'll get to the longtime runners later. And this is for somebody on my Insta. This is from Sharon. She says, I really struggle with getting started. I always feel a bit stupid. Okay. Have you, Bryony and Sharifa, felt a bit stupid as well? Just hands up.
Yes.
Oh yeah, I mean, yes.
Yes.
Okay, let's start with a bit stupid, Karen. Let's get over that first. And I agree, I can feel really stupid.
All these comments about running in your underwear, I'm just like, oh, chafing. Oh. So I'm not so sure about that, running in your underwear. Oh dear. But anyway, getting started, starting out, I think there's a big thing here. We put everybody, and it's a societal thing these days, we put too much pressure on ourselves to be brilliant at everything we do straight away, or even ever. You know, why? I think we need to just accept mediocrity, and anything is better than nothing. And I really do push that now. It's the absolute opposite of a lot of the motivational no pain, no gain messages, which I find actually really destructive for people in the long term. So actually, just get out and do something. Anything is better than nothing. And understand where your starting point is. So if you have never run before, if you know 30 seconds of running is a challenge for you, go and do 30 seconds of running and then take a 5-minute walking break and then do another 30 seconds of running and then go home. You've run a minute, which you've never done before. That is a big tick, and it's your starting point. If you don't have this viewpoint that I've got to go out and run 5K or whatever the distance is and I'm going to fail at it, and then you feel that you're stupid because you haven't been able to do it, that's the problem. So just start with something that is a very, very tiny, weeny challenge, and it could be 30 seconds of running. That's enough for your first session.
Holly, actually, there's a lot, isn't there, on the Her Spirit app and the community about just that first, you know, getting, as Karen's talking about, just doing little bits and adding it together.
Yeah, absolutely. And last year we launched a program called Give Me Five with four times Olympian Donna Fraser. And it's a brilliant audio program. It's very holistic. It's all about getting started in running. And I've done it actually as a recovery from injury. And I loved it because I really love the fact that you start with a 5-minute walk, you start to enjoy your surroundings, and then really short running periods with then longer kind of walks in between. And it really builds up quite gradually over time. The great thing about Give Me Five is it also starts you on the journey around starting to get a bit stronger, using yoga for a bit more flexibility. So all of the things that start to come in with running, the more you do those niggles, we start to kind of address those right from the start. So my 73-year-old mum actually has just finished Give Me Five. She's had about a 15-year break of running, and she wasn't a big runner. She ran the London Marathon age 52. That's where I was inspired to start running, you know, which is amazing. She was so chuffed. She sent me a little picture of her watch that says she did her 5K in 45 minutes, but came with a cover note that said, but I'm really disappointed I couldn't do my 5K in 30 minutes. And I was like, Mum, how come you think you have to do 5K in 30 minutes? And I do think that some of the mental barriers that I think we all have around running are about some of these myths that are out there around speed, time, distance, rather than just enjoying running for running's sake, actually.
Sharifa, we just want to pick up with you because I saw you kind of like roll your eyes when you heard that about her mum mentioning the time.
Oh, yeah, my face is very expressive. I think I do have a personal, it is a pet peeve of mine where whenever you talk to someone about running or whenever people start getting into running or talking about running, it's always, so you ran a marathon. What was your time? What was your time? 5K, what's your time? What's your cadence? What's your cadence? I don't even know. What's a cadence? You know, like I find it to be the least important thing about running, because running has given me so much more. And for me, it's always been the mental health element, the community element, the taking part in a huge challenge that you think, I can never overcome this. I can never run that half marathon, or I can never run that full marathon. But then you do it and you get to the end and you're like, wow, I did that. And then you take that into your life. And then that shapes how you see yourself. And so for me, running is so much more than just the time. It's the self-esteem builder. It's the building strength in your body, in your mind. The time is so irrelevant to me, because at the end of every race or the end of everything, we all get the same medal. We've all stepped the same steps.
Karen, pick up your thoughts on that one.
I mean, I completely agree. I think people get into running for very different reasons. And for some people that perhaps are, you know, more gifted naturally at running, then time does become important, because that's how they achieve. So Sharifa, your achievement is the finish, but for other people it is getting faster. But I think it's being authentic to yourself and honest to yourself and finding the intrinsic motivation for the activity that you're doing, and not being dependent on kudos or external motivations, you know, being able to post it on social media, all these kind of things. You need to do it because you love it. And I think if you don't, so it's coming right back to the very early question, Louise, you know, do you love it or hate it? If you just don't love running, find another activity that you do love, because running is hard on the body. It is really hard. It's probably the most hard because of the intensity that you get, but the impact on your joints and muscles and connective tissues from you know, running on, particularly if you're a road runner. So don't do it just because you feel you ought to do it. Do it because you love it. And if you are finding you're getting mental health benefits, it clears your mind, it makes you feel better about yourself, then do it. If aiming for that 30-minute 5K and then getting there makes you feel better, fantastic. But if it doesn't, then find something else that you do love, or find a different way of doing it. Run walking strategy. You can be a really, really good runner and still take walking breaks in your running. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But I know runners scoff and say, well, there will be some runners that scoff and say, well, walking's cheating. Well, I ran my fastest ever marathon, a sub 3:30, taking walking breaks. I covered the same route as everybody else. I don't consider it cheating, and I'm a running coach, you know. So I think you've got to find a way that ultimately works for you, that means you can enjoy most of the time, not all the time, because I would definitely say there are runs I don't really enjoy, but most of the time you enjoy what you're doing.
Go, Bryony.
My point of view on it is that we don't need help. We don't need to encourage people going for a time to run. Like, they will, those kind of people will always get into running. My thing is that I always thought I hated running, because it hurts. It's horrible at first, but I actually found out that I loved it. And what I want to do personally, as a non-athletic looking person, is encourage people like me who are a bit bigger, who may be wanting to go out, so not even, doesn't really matter about size, or people that have, you know, stuff going on with their body, who think running isn't for them because it hurts their lungs when they go out. But, you know, it hurts everyone's lungs. And it's like going, no, but if you push through that, you can do it. And I think, so that's why talking about times, I think, is super unhelpful. We need more people talking about the 7-hour marathons, the 6-hour marathons, you know, and Karen, I massively respect your sub 3:30. But like, you know, like that to me is like, how did you do that and walk? Because like, people would say to me, so, oh, you did the marathon. Well, after my first one, they were like, what time did you do it in? And I'd be like, oh, what time did you do the marathon in? And they'd go, oh, I haven't done a marathon. I'm like, okay, so fuck off. What I am all about is like showing different experiences of people running, you know.
I've got to take control. I've got to take control of this podcast because it's brilliant, but there's so much to say. So let's take the it hurts to the expert. It does hurt, Karen. So how do we make that better for all of us? You know, whether we're the sippy cup runners, whether we're the Sharifa ones who clearly actually genuinely loves this, how do we deal with it? It just hurts.
It does hurt, Louise. It does hurt, and it hurts for everybody. Exactly as Brian, he says, it does hurt. So you have to slow down and take walking breaks. That is the way you stop it hurting until you get to the point that you're a bit more trained, and then you go longer between your walking breaks and you run a little bit faster. So I think when people start out with running, because it's something that you see a lot of these days, particularly people watch the London Marathon, they get so excited, and they do see all shapes, all sizes running the London Marathon. You know, there's dinosaurs, there's all sorts going on there. And they do think, I can do that, I can do that. And you get caught up in the excitement of it all. You go and enter your London Marathon. The very slim chance you actually get through the ballot, you get your place, or you go and do a charity place. And then you start running and you go, bloody hell, this hurts. How am I going to run 26 miles? But if you break it down into little tiny chunks, and as you go back to exactly as I said, start with 30 seconds of running. Then you maybe get to a minute of walking, 30 seconds of running, a minute of walking. When you run a marathon, you have to be in the comfortable zone. So you don't go out and sprint from the start, and then when you can't breathe, you stop, feel stupid and go home. You've got to be comfortable. I always get my marathon runner, or anyone running any distance, the first quarter of your race, event, whatever it is you're doing, you have to feel effortless. So how slow do you need to go for it to feel effortless? And that might even be a walk, but that's not a problem. So slow down, resist pressure, resist peer group pressure, resist societal pressure. Just get out and get moving, but slow down and take walking breaks.
I'm loving the walking breaks, by the way, because I have done, so Karen, when I have been able to run, I'm a big fan of the walking break. And what I've loved most, I think, about this podcast is Karen, the expert, says, if you don't like it, go and do something else. And Holly, we've got lots of ways that people can do something else, but we'll come back to running in a minute. Go on, tell us about what else you can do.
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously loads of activities you can do. Swimming, cycling, walking is getting a good rap today. So I'm a particular sort of fan of it. But I think that thing about purpose, I thought was really interesting, you know, understanding why you're doing it. What's the reason? Is it to do it with friends? Is it to celebrate a moment in time? Is it to remember somebody? Is it to raise money? I think having a purpose really overcomes those moments of challenge. And we've got a phrase here at Her Spirit. We call it being comfortably uncomfortable. The fact that you're in this place that feels uncomfortable, but you can cope with it, is actually really a great thing to learn. So that's that whole resilience piece. And that's why I really like activity, because I think it helps you build resilience. I'm just loving this conversation, by the way, because I think this is just absolutely shows what running does to people in terms of the conversation. We've seen it on our social channels, such different views about running and what makes it feel inclusive and also exclusive. What I think is really fascinating about running, it's probably one of the only activities that we think we should be able to do innately without any coaching, support, instruction. You wouldn't turn up at a swimming pool, would you? Jump in the pool and somehow expect to know how to swim. And yet somehow we all think we should know how to run. So all the things that Karen's spoken about are really great strategies for how to enjoy running. But who tells you this stuff?
Yeah, that's a very good point. And Karen, because Karen, we did meet, didn't we? What, about a year or so ago in some between lockdowns, whenever it was. And actually Karen did a brilliant, looked at my running style. So, I mean, you know, Karen, this is obviously individual, etc. But what are the kind of top things you would say to people when they are, you know, going out there for their first run, perhaps in a very long time?
Okay, the really common thing that you see is a slow. So coming back to cadence, sorry, Sharifa. So this is a technical term, but it's how quickly you turn your.
What is cadence?
Cadence is how quickly you turn your legs over. So there is plenty of science to support that if we can turn our legs over quicker, that doesn't necessarily mean you run faster, but you're in contact with the ground for less time. It does actually use less energy. And it's a little bit counterintuitive when you start running, because you want to sort of, I don't know whether it's a comfort factor, be in contact with the ground for as long as possible. But actually, if you can speed up your cadence and be springy out the ground, so barely contacting it. I use the cues, such as imagine you're running over red hot coals. So you pick your feet up really quickly. That actually is far more efficient and wastes less energy. So what you tend to see with novice new runners, people just getting out there, is a very slow plod. And I don't mean slow in terms of how quickly they're covering a distance, but in terms of how quickly they turn their legs over. So if you can just work on trying to think short, fast stride, short, fast stride, short, fast strides, turn the legs over a little bit quicker, be in contact with the ground a little bit less time, you will be more efficient. And if you can do that from the very first day you start running and drill in this good habit, rather than having to break a bad habit where we've got into just a slow plod, a slow turn over the legs, that's going to help you with all your running in the future. So that's probably my biggest tip in terms of technique. But the other thing I would say, and picking up on Holly's point, this idea that people don't get instruction in running, and we just go, well, we ran as kids, so we can do it now. But many things have changed since we were a kid, and most of it environmental. So we spend an awful lot of time sat down now, whether we're driving, sat at a desk, so very sedentary. That changes our body posture completely. We're very rounded through the shoulders. We actually find it very hard to stand upright. To be efficient at running, you need to be able to stand tall. If we're very hunched over and got that sort of habitual position, it's actually really hard to access the correct movement. So that's why kids run, because they haven't yet developed these really bad habits that we as adults have got. So they can run much more naturally and effortlessly. But we not only have to sort of work our cardiovascular system to get fit, we have to undo all these years and years of bad posture. And, you know, with the best will in the world, even if you ran every day for half an hour, you don't undo the other 8 hours that you've got sat down every day. So it's being patient and being kind to yourself and being accepting that it is going to be hard, it is going to hurt, but it's worth pursuing.
I just want to go back to some of the things when we asked the question about running. So just so we can bring in the community as well. You know, lots of things that we've said at Echo. Thanks so much for the answers. We asked, yeah, what's the first things you think about? Peace of mind, someone said. Sometimes mind over matter. Womble, love that one. The breeze blowing over my skin. Something, as somebody else also says, it's impossible for me. I've got knee problems, not something I ever did after leaving school. Somebody else, running takes me places, headspace and reflection, a bit of me time with a Her Spirit podcast. Thank you for the random ad, whoever that was. Exhausting and painful. Yes, you can. Uncomfortable. Again, just such amazingly mixed emotions. Karen, so lots to say about that. People, you know, do events over long, you know, sort of back to back, don't they? So are there any kind of top tips that you give people who are sort of considering that sort of thing?
Yeah, definitely. So recovery is key. So eating well and rehydrating well is going to be the most important things. And when you're eating, you know, protein, you know, we all know about carbs, but the thing that often gets missed, but is so important for women, particularly once you're over 35 and our muscle mass starts decreasing, you need to load in the protein. So after each event, make sure within a half hour of stopping, you're getting carbs and protein in. Rehydrating, and then what works for you. So there is the idea of ice baths or massage, all these kind of things. It's whatever feels good for you. There's very little science to prove one thing over another. A lot of them have placebo effects. So just what works for you. But the thing you can't miss out is your nutrition and hydration.
Sharifa, what do you do about protein? What do you eat for protein? Because that's what I always think about, because it's, you know, protein meat is so easy, isn't it?
Yeah. Protein was the hardest thing for me. And also when I first went vegan, I was like, what do I even eat? I didn't eat properly for weeks because I was confused. And there was a period of time where I really struggled to figure out what to eat. But actually, loads of beans. I eat loads of beans, loads of chickpeas. Like, I have a very like heavy bean based diet. And I used to have very bad IBS, actually, which is what made me want to change my diet. And a lot of people say, well, I have IBS and I can't eat beans. But again, something very interesting happened to my body when I started eating, taking away all the animal proteins and introducing just beans and garlic and all those things I never could have before. And my IBS completely cleared up, which was great. But when I'm training a lot, I do have a protein powder that I'll use. It's Muzest, and it's vegan and it's got no flavor. And I just add it in because I love a smoothie. So I add things into smoothies. I also use my vegan clear protein, which is just, it has a little bit less protein in it, but it's quite a nice, refreshing sort of protein drink.
So that's interesting that you can, you know, you can get in the protein.
Yeah, you can definitely get in the protein. I think it's more difficult to get in lots of protein from plant sources. You have to eat a lot of chickpeas or a lot of beans to try and get it in, but I think it is possible. I'm just probably a bit lazy.
Listen, we're gonna run out of time soon, so I just want to kind of pick up on a few things. Karen, you mentioned strength and conditioning, and I know this is something that you think is kind of key, don't you?
Yeah, I'm a really huge advocate of strength and conditioning, and again, you know, I hinted at it earlier, saying particularly women over 35. So you sort of, in that decade, we naturally start losing muscle mass. There's nothing we can do about it. And unless we actually take action to start putting it back, you're standing still or going backwards anyway. So, and I know runners have this thing about not wanting to bulk up and all this kind of thing, carry extra weight, but that doesn't happen, I promise you. What we're trying to do is actually underpin our running or cycling or swimming, whatever it is you're doing, with a healthy, strong body. And that's why you do your strength and conditioning. You've got to get away from thinking it's cross training. It's not cross training. It's underpinning your health for life. It's making sure we've got sufficient muscle mass that basically when we're 90, we can still get ourselves up off the toilet. You know, that's what you've got to think about. And if you don't do strength and conditioning, you're not going to be able to do that. But when you run, your muscles fire. The more muscle tissue you have, the more resistant to fatigue it is, the longer you're going to be able to run, the less likely you are to get injured. So you have to stop thinking of strength and conditioning as something you do to support your running. It's to support your life overall. And, you know, when I work with runners, triathletes or whatever, this is non-negotiable, and especially for women, because when we get perimenopausal or menopausal as well, and we start getting fluctuating estrogen and then lose estrogen, the stimulus to build muscle completely disappears. So unless you are actually lifting heavy weights, and it is heavy weights relative to your ability, it's not standing on one leg doing 1 kg dumbbells, you know, bicep curls, that doesn't work. It's doing big lifts, it's doing your deadlifts, your squats, maybe some Olympic lifting. And if you don't know how to do that, this is an important time in life to go and get some help. Get a personal trainer. You don't need to be with them forever. Get them to show you how to do these fit things. Check your form. This is underpinning your health for life as a woman. This is not just about running.
Holly, let me just pick up. Tell us what we've got on the Her Spirit community app for this.
Well, we love strength and being stronger, feeling it and being in your body. And we launched Couch to Kilos in January, and it's been hugely successful. It's exactly as Karen says, it's three levels. First level is body weight. Second level is starting to introduce hand weights. And then level three is starting to use a barbell, which our community have absolutely loved, learning how to actually lift some of those kind of bigger weights. So come and give it a go. It's a 6-week program. And I think you'll absolutely love it. It's loads of fun.
I just wanted to say, like, I have found that doing 2 half-an-hour strength training things a week, 2 to 3, at home, and I've got, you know, I got a PT, and then I got her to teach me how to do it all at home with the right equipment. It has completely transformed the way I run and my exercise. And as also as someone who's perimenopausal, it is amazing. It really has just given it that extra boost.
Which is so encouraging. And also, you make the point there, don't you, Bryony, that you can, and Karen, you made the point, if you get a PT, they can tell you how to do it, and then you can go on and do it yourself. So you're not having to spend a huge amount of money. But also, there is all, you know, on the app, it's all out there for you. Karen, how important is kind of flexibility and mobility?
Well, it's important that you have functional range in your joints. And that just means that the body can move how it's supposed to. And I've already said about environmental issues now with this all sitting down. That's probably the biggest thing that impacts our mobility. So our hip flexors at the front of our body have got shortened because we sit down so much. That pulls everything slightly out of alignment. It means you can't lift your knees as high as they need to when you run. Your hamstrings get overactive or underactive. Your glute, I mean, how many people have been injured and been told that they've got lazy glutes or their glutes are inactive? You know, it's the classic thing. And it's not even that the glutes aren't strong. It's just because we spend so much time sat on our backside. They just forget how to work. The messages from our brain aren't even getting through to our butts anymore. It's like, so just functional movement, mobility is really important. And if you love yoga and you get something out of it, then go and do that. But it can just be as easy as just keeping moving. So if you know you're going to have a day sat at a desk, set the alarm on your clock to go on your phone to go off every 20 minutes or something and stand up and do 10 squats. Just move, just stop being sedentary. But just coming back to the strength and conditioning again, if you have been taught and know how to do these full lifts, deadlifting and squatting, you're also taking your body through big ranges of movement, and that is stretching as well. So some of the time you can tick all these boxes of movement, strength and mobility just by doing some, you know, one thing, and it might be your strength and conditioning.
I think sometimes the gym can be like the place where you lift weights or a gym, where these establishments can be quite intimidating for people who feel like these spaces aren't for them. So if you're that person, find whatever studio it is that you feel most comfortable in, because I think there'll always be certain spaces you feel more comfortable and certain gyms you go into that feel super judgy and like you don't want to be mansplained over by the weight rack or whatever. You know, don't be afraid to like do like a bunch of different trial memberships and pay that little intro offer or whatever it is.
I think you make a very good point. Bryony, we've got to let you go because you've got a Zoom to do, haven't you? You've got 10Ks to run and a Zoom to do. Bryony, before you do, top tip to people who are, you know, finding it tough at the moment running, just in 10 seconds.
Just try it a little bit. Remember, my top tip to you is that nobody wants to go out for a run. Nobody. But nobody ever regrets going for one.
Love that. Bryony, you go. You've been awesome as always. Okay, so lastly, Holly, we've got a collaboration, haven't we, going on at the moment?
Yeah, absolutely. We were really excited to be working with Vitality, London Vitality 10K in the lead up to this, because we really started to notice within the community that there's a lot out there for running 5K or up to 5K, but there's not really a lot of support and guidance around going to 10K. And when we started talking to our community, there seemed to be a real mental block, and there was a question that actually that someone asked about, I've got a bit of a mental block around going from 5 to 10K, how do I do it? So working with those guys, we developed Take on a 10K. So it's a great 10K plan that gradually builds you up and enables you to do a 10K in 10 weeks. So there's still time if you have been running and you want to take part. 2nd of May is the Vitality London 10K. You can do it in London, but you can also do it virtually as well. And I know for a lot of our community members who struggle with travel, cost, time, then doing a virtual kind of run is absolutely brilliant. So whatever you're kind of thinking about running wise, I'd really encourage you to take on a 10K, because it is a really lovely distance to run.
And your Sharifa, your advice to people who you know, thinking about doing that 10K?
Do something that scares you, because that's where you grow. But actually remember that running is just fast walking.
And finally, Karen, so tell us, you know, you got so much good advice, and that's why I've chosen you as my coach. And one day we will get me through a major run when I've done lots of strength and conditioning, I got my knee better, etc. Started with walking probably. Your top tip for people?
Slow down and take walking breaks. It's that simple. Slow down and take walking breaks.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. Thank you to Bryony. Thank you, Sharifa. Thank you, Karen. Thanks, Holly, as ever, for taking time to talk to all of us today. Holly, love to be chatting to you too. If you've been inspired to get your trainers back on, maybe even go for a longer, brisker walk or run, or set yourself a big challenge like a 10K or more, or beat perhaps a PB on a half or full marathon, there are lots of brilliant tips, advice and challenges you can sign up to for all levels, from beginners to pro runners as well, on the Her Spirit app, or go to herspirit.co.uk. Click on challenges as well, or sign up to the app for all your running needs. Come in and join our conversations on Facebook and on Instagram. We'll post the links in the episode notes, and we will also add a link on where you can read a full transcription of this episode as well, in case you want to check back on any of that advice. I've loved it. I think I've learned a lot. I am going to go for a walk today, not a run, but hopefully I will be back running soon. And thank you so much for listening. I'm Louise Minchin. The next episode of the Her Spirit podcast will be arriving on Monday, the 6th of June. This one is going to be all about cycling. Until then, remember, together we have got this.